Morning. While I was standing there, maybe the Spirit of God, somehow I was reminded that sometime the end of this month, I don't know the date, marks 50 years since I gave my heart to the Lord. It was February of 1975. Wow. How time goes. Praise God. What a difference. What a turnaround. What a change. Thank God. Can you turn to Philippians chapter 3? Philippians chapter 3, I'm going to read from the New King James Version. And of course, the song that we sang, something good is going to happen. Something good is in store. We're together again, praising the Lord. Brought back memories of my early days serving the Lord. One of the songs that we sang quite frequently. So my mind was pushed back to the early days this morning. So Philippians chapter 3, we are going to read from verse 3. And it reads, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else think he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. Concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But, verse 7, what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." May the Lord bless the reading of his word for his name's sake. Long passage, but I wanted to read it just to bring out the point that, or the subject that I'm addressing this morning, and what caught my attention actually are the words, "the excellence of the knowledge of Christ." And in verse 10, "that I may know him." The excellence of the knowledge of Christ. And in verse 10, "that I may know him." So this morning, just want to speak a little bit on the topic, knowing Jesus. But like I said, I read it all just there for context. You know, sometimes you're driving down the same street all the time, and you have the green light. So you're just driving and you get into your destination. You're focusing on where you're going. But then one day you're driving along that same street, and for some reason, it's a red light. What happens? You stop and you begin to look around. And you begin to see things that you never saw before. I mean, you're passing right there all the time down that same street. And all of a sudden, you stop there and you're telling yourself, you mean that was there all the time? Wow, no. Is that a new building? No, it was always there all the time you were passing. But your focus was not there. Your focus was on where you were going. Do you know that reading the Word of God is just like that? How often we encounter something in the Word of God and it's like, wow, wow, you mean that was there? God has a way of revealing things to you at the right time. They are stoplights when we read the Word of God. And thank God for those stoplights, because that's when we see things that we read about, but somehow it just jumps out of the page at us. The excellence of the knowledge of Christ. So I was reading that passage. It might have been a quiet time. I can't recall. But that just jumped out at me. The excellence of the knowledge of Christ. Knowing Jesus. And this is coming from Paul, the apostle. And I read the entire passage simply because of, like I said, the context. Paul was saying how he described himself as a one who, being a Jew, being a Hebrew, being one who knew the law, he knew the Old Testament well. Paul knew the Old Testament well, but did not know the God of the Old Testament. You realize that? He was telling you the kind of man, if you want to boast, I could boast more than you. And yet he counted all of those accomplishments as loss, as nothing, as this translation says, as rubbish. He's not saying that what we have, it's actually rubbish. He's doing a comparison. He said, I count them as rubbish for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ. What he's doing, he's comparing all his accomplishments against knowing Christ. And he says, all that to me is like rubbish as opposed to knowing Christ. I would give up everything that I've ever accomplished for the purpose of knowing Christ. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what your accomplishment is. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how rich you are, how powerful you are. If you're missing Jesus Christ in your life, you are missing the best thing you could ever have. That's what Paul is saying. That's what he's saying. And the fact that it's coming from him is striking. That is what jumps out at me. Here's a man who had status, who had power. I give up all of that for the excellence. Look at the importance he places on knowing Christ Jesus as his Lord. Like I said before, something like knowing your Bible and being in the choir, being a Sunday school teacher even, active in the church, but you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Paul knew the Word of God, but did not know the God of the Word. Let us be careful, brothers and sisters, with all of our knowledge. Let us strive to know Jesus. It was not until outside of Damascus he knew the Bible, and yet what moved him was to beat people up
who didn't believe what he believed.
Can you imagine?
He knew his Old Testament so well, yet he was on a mission to beat up those people who were of, as the Bible says, the way. You don't think like me, and you believe in some guy named Jesus, I'm coming for you.
But then, of course, he heard that. He heard his name being shouted out.
Saul! Saul! Why are you persecuting me?
And his life dramatically changed. From that moment, Paul was never again the same person.
He had known the word before, but he never met Jesus. From the time he met Jesus, he was a changed man. Listen, if you ever have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot be the same person again. You either surrender to him and let him become your Lord, or you leave him and become a miserable person. We have the rich young ruler as an example. You know, he came to Jesus and he asked Jesus, how can I find eternal life? He was convicted. And the Lord Jesus Christ knew what his problem was, just like he knows what each and every one of our problem is. He knows what is our stumbling block. And he knew that the stumbling block of this young man was his riches. The Lord Jesus Christ says, you go sell everything you have. Now, I'm not telling you that you should go sell everything you have. And that is not the point of the story. The story is Jesus was telling him where his problem lie. Of course, if we all sell what we have, we wouldn't have nothing to give. So he's not talking about that. That's not the point. But this young man, the Bible tells us he went away after he rejected Jesus, sorrowful. Any person who has encountered Jesus will not be the same person again. And that was Paul's experience. Thank God, he was struck in such a way, blinded, that he rose up and said, who are you, Lord? He was a different man from there on. Oh, my prayer is that we'll all, if we haven't yet, if there's anyone here this evening who doesn't know Jesus Christ, they'll come to know him as Lord and Savior sometime soon. Now, there are a number of people who talk about knowing God, and they think that they can know God in their own way. But Jesus Christ, our Lord, addresses that. If you go to John chapter 17, our Lord says, this is eternal life. And he was praying, that's when he was praying to the Father. He said, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So those who are God conscious, like Paul, as he was before, and think they are serving him by doing good works, have really no experience with God. Because you can only truly find God in the person of Jesus Christ. That's what the word is telling us. Now, we know that some people don't like to hear that. And when we say things like that, they say, well, you know, you Christians, you are this and you are that. You think you know everything. No, we don't know everything. We're just saying what the Bible says. Because we believe the word of God. We're simply saying what the word of God says. That you know Jesus Christ through his son, whom he sent. This is eternal life. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And then, of course, we can even go back to John chapter 14, the encounter with Philip. Jesus Christ was there with Philip and the rest of the apostles. Hear what Jesus says, reading from verse 9. He says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Philip had asked the question, show us the Father. And Jesus is like, Phil, come on, man. Come on. You've been with me so long. I've been teaching you for so long. And you're asking me to show you the Father. If you'd known me, you would have known the Father also. Because the Father and I are one. Knowing God. The excellence of knowing God, or other translations have it, the surpassing worth. The surpassing worth. I think the ESV and the NIV, that's how they have it. Same thing, but the importance of knowing Jesus Christ. Nothing can be compared. Nothing. It doesn't matter how much you have. It doesn't matter how powerful you are, how rich you are, how wise you think you are. You can add them all up together, and still it's not equal to the knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's not my opinion. That's what the Word of God is saying. That's what the passage we read this morning. I count them all rubbish. And we read what he thinks of himself, his qualification. They're all rubbish in comparison to the excellence of knowing Christ. I count all of my accomplishments as loss that I may know him. That I may know him. What are you putting in the way of knowing Jesus Christ this morning? What are you putting in the way? What is blocking you? What is stopping you? Is it a boyfriend, a girlfriend? Is it your job? What is the reason you're giving for not knowing Jesus Christ? You love God. You love to come to church. You love the singing. You love to be in part of the activities of the church even. But yet you haven't surrendered to Christ. What's stopping you? Nothing should. Paul's experience is a warning to each and every one of us. It's a learning experience that we should take to heart. Because, as I emphasized before, you can read the word, you can recite the word, you can be active in church, and still it's possible to be without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We're not saved by our works. It is not our works that is going to set us good with God, our relationship with God. Our work should come out of our knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Everything we do. And the reason why it jumps out at me, I thought of so many different things. One of the things is, I mean, this guy is boasting of how much he knows his Old Testament. And the Old Testament has so many examples of God saying exactly that. Take, for example, Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. And I'm pretty sure the apostle would have known that very, very well. That the Lord is making it so clear when it comes to his relationship. He said, verse 23. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Paul would have known that passage. He boasted, remember? He boasted of how much he knew. He knew the word of God. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But God didn't stop there. He says, let him who glory, or some other translations have the word boast instead of glory. Let him who glory and glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me. Let him who boasts, let him who glory, boast in this, that he understands and knows me. God is crying out for a personal relationship with you and I. Do you know him through his son Jesus Christ? It doesn't matter how wise you are. It doesn't matter how mighty you are. It doesn't matter how rich you are. That is nothing to boast about, God says. You want something to boast in? Boast that you know me. That's strong and clear language from God. That is what you should be boasting about. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? God says, you ain't got nothing to boast about. You shouldn't boast. You want something to boast? I give you something to boast about. Boast that you know me. Boast that you know me. This weekend, rather next weekend, we, as was announced, we have the activities of the young people in the church. We have many activities in the church. Basketball, dancing, everything else. And there's nothing wrong with any one of them. But our understanding must be clear. While those activities are good, and while you may have great basketball skills, even to take you to the NBA, that is not the goal of the church. The goal of the church is that you may be drawn close to Jesus Christ. We can't miss that. In all the activities we had, as good as they are, if you got potential that you can get to the NBA, I am sure that Coach Tucker is going to give you all the encouragement you need to get there. But his primary goal, I'm sure, is that you would come into a better and a closer relationship, or get into a relationship if you have not, with the Lord Jesus Christ. Every activity of the church is for that purpose, to draw each and every one of us close to Christ. What do you do for God? What do you do for God? Well, listen, it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. This passage blows me away. Boy. God says, let him not glory, but glory in his riches. The other thing that caught my attention about that passage is, it's one thing for you and I to describe God. If I ask you to describe God, if you ask me to describe God, we're going to describe him in our own way. But to hear God describe himself, that's another story. That I am the Lord. Here is God describing himself, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. This is God describing himself. Wow. God says, I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness. Some translations have the word steadfast love. Both are just good. Matter of fact, it's worth meditating on both. You know, love and kindness, two words put together to speak of God's love and his kindness. The other one also I like. I wasn't sure which translation I should use, but I thought I would mention that. Steadfast love. God's love is steadfast. God's love is not a wishy-washy love. It's a steadfast love. He's reminding us. Judgment. God judges rightly. God is reminding his people that I am a good judge. Some of these judges we have today, boy, boy, boy. And then he says, and righteousness, or uprightness, as some translations have it. I am the Lord exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, and in these I delight. Does your standard align with God's standard? How do you judge? How do you judge? Does righteousness mean anything to you? I know it doesn't mean much to the world. The big news is who divorced who and who married again. Hollywood influences us so much. How many times so-and-so married and, oh, and what is show name? Entertainment Tonight. That's the big news. And whatever they're wearing, the young people want to wear and all that. God help us. God help us. Who are we being influenced by? Is it Hollywood? Is it the world? Is it those popular people who can't even dress decently? Or is it by God's standard? Is God your influence? And I speak to both men and women alike concerning that. Is God's standard influence in your life? Time is gone. But let me quickly, because like I told you, this sometimes you stop at the light and you begin to look around, and that's what I did. I began to look around, and I saw things that never thought about, and I began to put these things together. I can take you to, quickly, to Exodus chapter 33. Let us look at an encounter with Moses. This is a passage you know very well, and time is like pretty much gone, so I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this here. But it's all on knowing God. And Moses, for the first thing, for the first part of it, reading from like verse 11, I think, Moses had said, Lord, who are you going to send with us? You're not telling me who you're going to send with us on this journey where you're sending us. And of course, God said to him, my presence will go with you. That is something else. That is something else. Moses was asking God, who are you going to send? You're not telling me. And God's reply was, I'm not sending anybody. I'm coming with you myself. That was stunning. But that's not my point here, even though that's in the passage. We go down to verse 13. After God had told him that, Moses, here he says, now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, hear Moses' words, show me, now, verse 13, show me, now, Moses is asking God to show him, not tomorrow. How often we hear the word of God and we put it off to tomorrow and next week, what are we going to do? If you have a desire to do something for God, or if God has instructed you to do something, don't postpone it. Act on it right away. So Moses said to God, show me now your way. Show me now your way. That I may what? Know you. The premium on knowing God cannot be overstated. God himself told the prophet Jeremiah, and here Moses himself, Moses, cries out to God, "Show me your way now, Lord, that I may know you." What a cry from a man who we think already had known God. Moses and God, early in the passage, the Bible says God communed with Moses like a friend who speaks to his friend face to face. He had known God, he had a relationship with God, but he had such a desire to know God more. He's crying out to God, "Show me your way, Lord, now. Now that I may know you. Show me now your way." If we are going to know God, we have to know his way. We can't do things our way and expect to know God. This is such clear instructions to us from the Lord. What is your desire to know God? I'm going to close with this, because there's so much more that can be said. But I'm going to close with this, and coming from Jesus himself. I don't know what your desire is to know God. If you know you need God in your life, this is not something you should put off. Cry out to Moses like now. But I want to take you to close to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. One part of the parable, some parables, a whole lot of parables in Matthew chapter 13. Just want to share with you two verses. And this is coming from the mouth of Jesus Christ himself. Matthew chapter 13, reading from verse 45, it says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all he had and bought it." Just think about that. Isn't that exactly what Paul is describing in Philippians chapter 3? "All that I have gained, I put it aside, that I may gain Christ." Jesus is describing this in just exactly the same thing in a different way. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls when he has found one of great price. He went and sold all he had and bought it. Think about that. The pearl was of such importance to him that all that he had put together was a small price to pay to acquire the pearl of great price. How important is Jesus to you? What is stopping you from knowing him? If Jesus Christ is worth knowing, then all that you have, it may interrupt your lifestyle. It may cause you to make decisions that your friends and your family may think you are crazy. But Jesus Christ is worth it. He's worth it. That is what Jesus is saying. That is what Paul is saying. That is what God said to the prophet Jeremiah. That is what Moses cries out to God for. "I want to know you." Do you want to know Jesus Christ this morning? If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're going to leave here just like you came in. You're going to be miserable.
I know it. But if you want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we are here to guide you, to help you. We can't save you, but we can show you from the Word of God how you can be saved. Because Jesus means that much to you. And you mean much to him too. Don't lose sight of that fact. That's why he came to Calvary, to give his life, to provide a pathway to the Father. Don't spurn his offer to you this morning. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, O God, that you have shown us from your word the value of knowing him. We thank you that you've shown us from your word that we cannot know you except we know him. For so many places in your word, we are told that Jesus is the way to you. No man cometh unto the Father except through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we believe there may be someone here today whose heart is yearning to know him. Give them the courage, O God, to not leave here, but to let us know that they would like to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Grant, Lord, that this would happen, and we know when it does, that they'll be rejoicing in heaven. We give you thanks and praise for this, in your Son's name. Amen. Our meeting has come to a close, but of course, if you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please let us know. Do not leave here without crying out for help. The Lord bless you.